And about 4.5 years ago, I was exposed to this new way of helping people. And within a few weeks after that, I had the opportunity to hear Mr. Banks speak in San Francisco in April of 1983. And went on to train with Dr. Rick Suarez and Dr. Roger Mills, who had formed an institute in Coral Gables and had written a book, as many of you know now, called Sanity, Insanity, and Common Sense. And I said, I listened to Mr. Banks that day, and I didn't really know what he was saying, but my truth meter was on truth the whole day. And the understanding, to whatever degree that I've seen of it, and I think it's just a bit, and I know that, has led my life personally and my life professionally to be really more joyful than I ever thought it could be. I may age myself here, but until the last few years, I thought the only people that were contented were Borden cows. Anybody remember the Borden cow commercials? We have milk from contented cows. But I see now that people can be contented. And that's really exciting. And it's just a real joy for me to have Mr. Banks here today. And for those of you that know a little, I'll let him share whatever degree he wants. But Mr. Banks had an experience about 15 years ago that really touched him, obviously, very deeply, and has assisted a man who, without a lot of formal education, is now being asked to talk to universities and professors, and has Dr. Suarez and Dr. Mills, who would say that he's been their teacher, myself, because there's a level of understanding that's been seen and that he's been touched by that is really gives hope. It really gives hope to all of mankind, I think. I'll say no more. I'd like you to welcome with me Mr. Sidney Banks.
I'd like to thank Bill for that introduction, because to me, it's an honor just to know Bill. To know that there's some doctors in this world that really care, truly care for their patients. If we truly get touched, when a patient walks out and have found some happiness, or have found some sanity, because it's a big world, and to try and find that sanity, it can be pretty difficult. What I found 14 and a half years ago on Salt Spring Island, where I lived, just a very simple little experience in my living room. And what I realized was there was, honest to God, a connection between religion and psychology. That what the true religions are trying to tell you, in the very heart of it, the very center of the religion, is sanity. How the mind of what you call God works through us. When I honest to God realized I had the answer to mental health, you can imagine what I felt like. And I saw a lot of my friends suffering. And I knew I couldn't go in and talk psychological to them because I'm not a doctor and I have no qualifications. And to be honest with you, I'm not even interested in it. I'm absolutely not interested in mental sickness one single bit. I wish I could never hear the word again as long as I live. But what I am interested in is mental health. And that's what's wrong with a lot of the groups that are created from the Freudian way of thinking. They go in and talk nothing else but mental health, a mental sickness. Mental health is never mentioned. And I tell you, beware, truly. Beware of groups who insist on talking mental sickness and taking you back in the past to where it all started and getting you to wallow in it. Know what that's like? It's like the blind leading the blind. It's like taking a sick human being back into the disease that created the sickness and verifying that it's a fact. Whereas if you can honestly look and see that the past is gone. It's an illusion in time now. It's non-existent, non-returnable. And the only person that wants to return it is the human being, even though it causes them all the mental anxieties and problems, mental upsets, mental sickness. They still insist they want to go back into it. Don't do that. You know how the wise have always spoken and said, you live in the now. Now that's not just a cliche. What that really means is that you sit with a calm mind, or you work with a calm mind, and all those upsets from the past, you forget them. It's that simple. You forget them. And in this place, the second your mind starts to become tranquil, and you get rid of all those different upsets, those illusionary things from the past, in its place comes wisdom. And wisdom is an inert consciousness that lies within every human soul on earth. We all have the answer. Now when I found this out, and I started to give it to the doctors, believe me, all hell broke loose. Because all I was a crazy welder. Until this, and I had no proof. So nobody would listen. So Barb and I gave up everything we had to try and help humanity. And the harder we tried, the more the therapists fought. And they wouldn't fight, saying it was nonsense. On the contrary, they would say, I see it works. I'm amazed. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I've never seen results like this in my life. However, due to the fact that you're not trained, or however, due to the fact that they were trained in a certain way, they wanted to stay that certain way. And I'd say to them, but it's not working for you. They'll say, I know that, but, and off they go again. A lot of buts in this world, eh? So you got to start using what they call common sense. And when you use your common sense, your common sense, this brings a lot of power to you. It brings a lot of confidence. It brings a lot of self-esteem. It brings a lot of credibility to how you function in life. Because once you use common sense, what you're doing, again, you're using wisdom. Not somebody's ideas, concepts, or anything else. It's your wisdom. And that's where you find a good teacher. A good teacher will tell you to stay at home. Forget awareness groups. Forget all that garbage. That's an insane asylum out there. The whole world is turned into an insane asylum. And it stems from our ideas and our concepts of what psychology is, or what the mind is. I put my heart and soul into it. And it's like talking to the wind. You don't get anywhere. But with this 14 and a half years, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of therapists and doctors out there have had a glimmer. And their practices are changing. And their patients are changing. The patients have been told that they'll be mentally handicapped all the rest of their life, are walking out in 24 hours healthier than the doctor. Now, I lived on a little island where this happened all the time and still couldn't see it. I've seen more miracles happen in 1 month than the average preacher even heard of in his life. And nobody looks, because we live in an insane asylum. It's the blind leading the blind. And unless it stops, you know what's going to happen. We're going to come to the end of this world as we know it. It's writings on the wall. And to save the universe, what has to happen somewhere along the line is the level of consciousness of humanity has to rise. And when it rises, all this means is that you see in a better, more positive way. And this better, more positive way brings a feeling of love, of understanding, of tranquility, and self-esteem. But until you find that, you have no other choice but to seek and find it. Now, I know many people here, you have the church of your choice. And I keep saying to people, you may think I'm condemning some people's religion, but I'm not. Absolutely not. Keep going to your church. But you know, I'm asking you to do something, one thing. Is if possible, go beyond your preacher. Go beyond your minister. Go beyond your teacher. Keep going. Because you see, sometimes, not knowing that they're doing it in innocence, a teacher can hold you back. Because of their own ideas, their own concepts of life. But they're trying their best, and nobody can condemn them for that. If you just go beyond them, no big deal. Expect to be like that. Don't expect to be unhappy. You know, people will come up to me and say, you know, it's not natural to be happy all the time. I can see being happy maybe twice a month. Now, can you imagine if you got happy today and for some unknown reason you're happy tomorrow, you've got to forget the other 28 days. You're going to think, how am I going to sit in misery? And you've got to go through misery for 28 days waiting for your turn to come up again. That's silly. That's really silly. But then again, we all go through trials and tribulations, and when you're down, what you've got to realize is you're only down temporarily. It's not a great big stamp put in your head, lifelong misery, just because you're down today. You don't do that. And if there's any questions, please, please ask them. Just relax, eh? There's no sense here. What are you going to get uptight for? The whole world, everybody in it, is governed by thoughts. If the thoughts are bad, they're going to see and live a bad life. If the thoughts are negative, they're going to live a negative life, and they're going to create a lot of negativity surrounding them. Now, if your thoughts are good, happy, positive, that's the kind of life you're going to lead. And it's nothing great, it's simply a thought. That's what I found. The secret lies in thought. And thought is connected to feelings. If your thoughts are negative, they're bad, they're low, then you're going to live and see through the eyes of negativity. Again, if your thoughts are positive, that's where you're going to live. And it's only a thought, just a thought. How simple can you get? People will say to me, you know, Sid, you're talking too simple. You're insulting my intelligence. I told them yesterday, they say the same about Second Chance or my tapes. But the laugh is, they'll read half of Second Chance and put it down, and it's insulting their intellect. But if you ask them what's in it, they can't tell you. No, that doesn't make sense. If it's that simple, they should know what's in it, but they can't. And a little book like Second Chance, I honestly don't expect too many people to understand it. And I don't care about that. As a matter of fact, a lot of people that come up and say they do understand it, I just look right through them. Because I know they haven't got it. But if they come up and say to me, I read the book, said, I don't understand it, and I'm standing there crying with a beautiful feeling. I know they're picking it up 100 times more than the intellect that has read it in speed reader 30 minutes. And that's another thing, speed readers, I've met them. They can't speed read second chance. They come up to me and their minds are boggled and they'll say, what is it in this book? I can't speed read it. The reason for that is there's a lot of stuff in that book that doesn't have anything to do with the little mind. It has to do with the spiritual mind. Now when I say spiritual mind, I'm talking about, for the Eastern mystics and everything, talk about the master mind. And of course the master mind is God. It's the source of all things. So when I say to you the mind is powerful, I'm not talking about your little two-bit Freudian mind. That to me is a pain in the rear end. That's your problem. That's what causes all the problem, is the ego mind. There's another way they call it. See how we get mixed up with words? Never mind words. Words are used to describe the undescribable. And I mean undescribable. You know how, like, truth is unbelievable. And people will say, yeah, I believe that. When it's unbelievable, it's unbelievable. Now, to go beyond unbelievable, you must go deep inside yourself to the inner wisdom where you have a realization. Then when you have a realization, then you see it. You cannot believe truth under any circumstances from your little mind. It is literally an impossibility. It has to be realized as wisdom. There's only one soul, one intelligence, one source, one God. And that's what I'm talking about. When I'm talking like this, I'm not condemning. Honestly, I'm not. There's only one way. You know how in the Bible it says there's only one way? That's true. It's honestly true. There's only one way. There's an infinite amount of paths. But there's only one way. And that one way is to look within yourself. And there lies the answer. And when you find that answer, nobody will ever change your mind. Because you'll know what you're talking about. Now, you know the therapy nowadays is to get your old ego and boost it up, eh? Push his ego. Come on. Poor guy, you know. Give him a break. So all the women get round and all the men get round and say, gee, you're a handsome looking guy. Geez, you're really masculine. Look at your blue eyes and look at your cuddly hair and oh gee, you're cute. And he's getting puffed up like an old turkey ready for the turkey shoot. And he walks out the door and he really believes it, eh? Temporarily. Because the ego will never give you self-esteem. Never. Never, never. You can boost it up till it bursts. You'll never get self-esteem. Because as soon as you walk out the door, it gets deflated. You're on your own. And you're on your own when you look in the mirror. So what you've got to do is to get something that's more permanent. And what you do is the very opposite of what Freud says. You destroy the ego. You totally wipe it out of your system. Because all the ego is a self-illusion. It's whatever you think of the world. Whatever you think of you. And if you think you're not worthwhile, or you feel that you're insecure, or you feel less a woman or less a man than other people, then that's what your ego is doing to you. And the ego, I'll repeat it again, it's an illusion, it's a self-inflated idea. And if you can honestly find out what mind is, the second you start, even if you start to find out what mind is, what happens is wisdom comes in. And wisdom will guide you through life. You can't take truth and Freud and put them together. And that's the biggest problem in the world. We don't want to let go of what we've got, even though it's garbage. We do that all the time. It's like your old shoes. You know, and the salesman says, what do you want to do with them? Well, you don't say, well, I'll take them home and keep them for future. So in your cupboard, you'd have maybe 50 pair of old, broken down, holy shoes. You don't do that. Well, that's the same with your mind. You've got to discard, you know. People will say to me, well, can't you just take what you've got and put it into this rubbish I've got? Kind of, no, it doesn't mix. That's like walking around with one old shoe and one new one. You're going to look pretty silly. And believe me, I've looked silly all my life. I'm guilty. I've done it all my life. Well, it's 12 o'clock and it's lunchtime. And so anyway, we'll see you at 1:30. Eh?